So first of all, I just want to remind you that we did a lot of this simen when we talked about psichas hakever and labor and the like in simen kuf peches. So much of the practical issues on this simen, like childbirth issues, we dealt with extensively at the beginning of the year. So we're not going to repeat that. So let's just go through the very basics. So according to Torah law, when a woman gives birth, she's Tamei Kanida, regardless of whether she sees Dam or not, regardless of whether the child is born alive or dead, whether it's a Nefil, if it's a Zachar for 7 days, and on the night following the 7th day, she could go to the mikvah, and if it's a Nekeva for 14 days, and the night following the 14th day, she could go to the mikvah. And then, afterwards, for Zachar for the next 33 days, for a Nekeva for the next 66 days, so then she has what's called Dam Tohar, which means that even though she sees Dam, she's Mutares. There's a debate in the Gemara, what's the pshat in this Dam Tohar? One opinion says, Shtei Mayanos Heim. In other words, the reason why she's Mutares is because this isn't Dam, regular Dam Nida, it's not coming from the Makor. We, though, paskin like the opinion that Mayan Echad, HaTorah Timasu, HaTorah Tiyaraso, meaning to say, even though this is really the same Dam that always makes her a Nida, still she could be Baal al Dam Tohar. Normally this makes her Asura, and during this stage, the Torah says it doesn't make her Asura, so she'd be Mutares. As we'll see shortly, Bisman is there, we're not Baal al Dam Tohar. And there's a Machlokas, why? So according to the Rambam, it's just a Minhag. In fact, as we noted before, he says that in certain countries, they are Baal al Dam Tohar. Like in Sarfas, it's a minhag that's post-Talmudic that did not take hold in all of Klal Yisrael. However, the Ramban understands it's Medina de Gemara. It's part of Rebbe Zeira that you need Shiva Nakim for any Tipas Dam. The mashmos of the Ramah over here is that it's a minhag, because he writes it's a minhag. You could consider certain leniencies, since it's only based off of a minhag. Practically speaking, this is not usually relevant at all, though I remember Rabbi Willig once telling me about a very big shas hadchak. It's a complicated case where she went to the mikveh after childbirth, but then she wasn't going to be able to go to the mikveh again. She had cancer, and it's a whole issue, and she saw some dam, or we didn't know it was dam, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. So since Megaradin, we knew that this is Dam Tohar anyway, maybe there's more of a tzad to be makel on that shayla, since it's only a minhag. But again, generally speaking, it doesn't really matter very much whether it's Medina de Gemara or Medina de Minhag, at Lamais it's Aser, because by now the minhag has spread universally throughout all of Klal Yisrael. The Pesachei Tshuva, though, quotes a very interesting discussion, which we'll get back to at the end of the simon, which is, if it is a minhag, as the Ramah paskins, then are you allowed to make a bracha when she goes to the mikvah, alts minhag? And we'll get back to that at the end of the simon. So, again, let's go back still to Dina de Gemara. So what would happen after day 40, or after day 41? So the Gemara says they have to be Poresh Lel Mem Aleph, or Lel Pe Aleph, even if she didn't see Dam.
Where does the number 40 come from? Is that just 33 plus 7?
Yes, correct. And why is that? That's to separate, right? Because she's been, you know, let's say day 76 she saw Dam and Nea Tashmish, and day 78 she saw Dam and Nea Tashmish, and day 79, like, this could be a disaster because it ends. So they said, you know what? No matter what happens, Biporesh, the 81 or 41, we're going to, you know, make a little barrier over here. And that way, people will avoid what would be a terribly costly error. Now, this Rush writes, that halacha of being Poresh day 41 or 81 is only when you're Baal Adam Tohar. To be mafresh between the days that are Dam Toar and those that come afterwards, in which case nowadays, where since we are not Boel al Tam Toar, you wouldn't have to observe that. However, the Smak writes, either way you have to be Poresh, even if you're not Boel al Dam Toar. The Beis Yosef wonders, why is that? And he says, maybe the Smak held like the Bahag, who held that it's like a Veses of sorts. Now, I don't know what exactly it means that it's like a Veses. Maybe he's saying that even now it's we paskin in Mayan Echad, but at this point of transition, there is some greater concern. She's going to see Dam that night as she transitions from Dam Toar to regular status. I don't know, maybe the reality of Dam, even though it's Mayan Echad, has some effect in the physical world that makes Re'iyah more Shayach. Whatever it is. Maybe that's the theory of the Smak. That's what the Beis Yosef says. Lemaisa, the Taz says, we paskin like the Rush. That's why the Mechaber does not bring down this halach of day 41 and day 81, because it's not relevant for us. You should note that the Taz, the Shach, and Sifkan Dal, it sounds like he thinks really you should be Machmir on this Shaila. But the Minig is to be Mekel. Now, that's under normal circumstances. Let's say a woman is Yoledes Bezov. What does that mean? Let's say she was a Zava when she gave birth. Now, that's not very normal. Normally, you will be Mutaris when you give birth. But let's say she's a Zava and she gives birth as a Zava. So then you'll need, if you see Dam during the delivery, which is typically the case, you'll need Shiva Nikiyim, right? If it's Yimei Ziva, or she's already a Zava, or she's Soseris or Shiva Nikiyim through the delivery. So then she'll need Shiva Nikiyim. In other words, as opposed to what we said before, you know, the Din Torah, she just waits 7 days and then goes to the mikveh afterwards, no matter what, doesn't matter. She's Yoledes Bezov, in addition to the 7 or 14 days of Tumas Leda, you'll also have a requirement of Shiva Nikiyim before she becomes Mutaris. And we...
additional
Shiva Nikiyim? Only. There's no Shiva Nikiyim Altsleida, right? That's 7 days. They don't have to be Naki. That's like Yimei Nida, right? She could be pleading all throughout, like the Din Torah by Anida. You don't need Shiva Nikiyim. But you'll need the 7 days, 14 days, and you also need Shiva Nikiyim. And we'll talk about whether you could double up. Like, if you didn't see those during those 7 days, could they count as Shiva Nikiyim as also Yimei Leda? So we'll get there in a minute. But Lamaisa, we assume nowadays that everybody is Yoledes Bezov. That's part of Chumrad Reb Zera. And moreover, since Iefsher Lepsichas, in other words, we're not Mechalik between what, right, whether a woman is Yimei Nida or Yimei Zidva, we always assume the worst. So when, since Iefsher Lepsichas Akever below Dam, so we're going to assume that when she gave birth, there was Dam. And since we're choshesh that this is Yimei Ziva, so we're going to assume that this is Dam Ziva, which means, practically speaking, that a woman will require Shiva Nikiyim after giving birth to a child, whether the child is born alive or dead, Rachman al-Itzlan. Now, then there's a very interesting minhag that the Rishonim all deal with over here. It's pretty clear that this minhag was at least at one point very widespread. And that is not to have tashmish at all during the 40 or 80 days. The Rambam writes about this minhag as follows. V'chein zeh shetimtza b'miktsas mekoymois v'timtza tshuvos l'miktsas g'oinim sheyoleda zachar lo tshamish mitasa tzof arboim v'yoledes nekeva achar shmonim afal pisha loy rasa el B'toich Hashiva, ein zeminag elatois. This is a minag tos. Some people have the minag not to have be at all during the 40 or 80 days. This is a minag tos. Hu ba'oisan hachuvos. It's not just a minag tos, but v'derech apikorsus ba'oisan hamekomos. U'minat tzedukim lamdu davar zeh. Where'd they come up with that crazy idea? From the tzedukim. U'mitzvah lakufan kedei lahoti miliban u'lachziran. We know the Rambam played a very big role in fighting the Karaites, and this is part of that. We know that one of the mistakes that the Tzaduka made was when it says Teshev al demei tahara b'chol kodesh lo tiga, so Teshev means Teshev, she's asura to have bia. And she's they didn't have this concept of a tefilas yom arach, right? Whereby we say she's asur b'kadshim, but mutar labayla, she's a tefilas yom arach. And therefore, where'd they come up with this idea? This way, idea of 80 days, this day, they held like the tzedukim. So obviously, we would discourage shatz minhagim, and that's ridiculous. Yeah.
Why they say it's called Yom Tovar?
Ask the tzedukim. So that's what they say. Good. So the Maharik has a different explanation. The Maharik says, what about this minhag? He quotes the Rambam. But he says a different pshat. He says, no, I think really, after Sharishonim Shechmiru Akach, Biku Matsu V'Gidru Bagader, V'Alkiyotze B'Zeh, Shma B'ni, V'Altitosh Mitaras Imecha. V'Chol Makom Shetinag Minhag, Shetimtza Minhag, V'Yesh Li Yashvay B'Shom Inyan, Poshut Sheyesh Lalach Acharav Ad Kan. So what's the pshat? Says maybe we don't really have a clue why this happens, but maybe bikamatsu badu the gadru bogeder. The Gemara uses that lashon. Rav came to a certain place. There ain't b'nei Torah, and so he made chumras to be machzir them. And we have other examples of that. So how did this minhag start? We don't really know, but you know we know that this is an old minhag. The Rambam himself writes that some of the gaonim endorsed this minhag, so at least some chachamim endorsed it. It must be that bika matzu v'gadru bagader, and therefore any time you have a minhag, and there's some far-fetched yishuv you could give, b'chshum inyan, then such a minhag has to be followed, at least in the places where they have that minhag. And therefore the Maharik says, no, at least in the places where this minhag was prevalent, the minhag must be observed. That's pshat 2. Pshat 3 is the Aguda. It's in Arvei Psachim, Simen Tzadivav. And he writes that it was a gzeira, a very interesting gzeira. The gzeira is that you not forget day 41 or day 81, right? It's like, you know, before they had calendars on your phones to remind you. So if I tell you, you know, it's like your dentist, they tell you, well, you set up an appointment for 6 months from now, right? So if I tell you, okay, day 81, after the child's born, you have to be poresh, right? So, you know, if you don't have a phone reminder, what are the odds you're going to remember? Very unlikely. It's very easy to forget. So far off, without a calendar, to count 81 days. So therefore, they said, you know what? Because it's so easy to forget day 41 and day 81, then better, you better just be machmir all 80 days and all 40 days. Now, according to this reason, you shouldn't be machmir for 41 and 81 as well. In other words, it's not just the chumrah shouldn't just be for 40 days, which is what the Rambam quotes, 40 days and 80 days, but 41 days and 81 days. Nunu, maybe in Achanami, maybe according to the Aguda, they were machmir for day 41 and day 81. Okay, the next interpretation of this minhag is in the Ramah. The Ramah is in the Darkei Moshe, and it's Alpi Rabbeinu Tam. So, because some of the Chaver was asking about this morning, let me just explain it. You have to have a little background to understand Rabbeinu Tam's view. And it goes like this. We said before that we treat all of our, every lay does a lay de bezov, right? So let's imagine in the Gemara's times, a woman has a lay de bezov. So she's going to need Shiva Nikim. So, could she... Well, actually, the first question in the Gemara is like this. Tani, Remarinus Omer, Ein Leida Soseres Beziva. So according to Remarinus, let's say a woman is in the middle of her Shiva Nikiyam, and she sees Dam. She gives birth, to be exact. She gives birth. So Remarinus writes that it's not a stira, and even though Iev Shalom Psichas Akes Blo Dam, so she did see Dam in the middle of her Shiva Nikiyam. That's not a stira to the Shiva Nikiyam. Okay, that's the first step. Then the Gemara continues, Ibailahu Mao Shatala. What does that mean? If do the Yemei Leida, right, the 7 days for a boy, 14 for a girl, could they count towards Sheva Nikiyim? Right, in other words, let's say they're Naki. Right, let's say they're Naki. So could they count towards the Sheva Nikiyim or not? Could you kill two birds with one stone? That's basically the question. Abai Amar Eina Soseres Veina Ola. Rava Amar Eina Soseres Veola. So according to Rava, they do count to Sheva Nikiyim. In other words, let's say if she gives birth to a girl, so she has to wait 14 days. And the last 7 of those 14 days are totally clean. So then, after the 14 days are over, she can go to the mikvah, right? And that, she doubles up, right? They count both as her the Sheva Nikiyim for the Ziva and the Yemei Tumas Leida. So how do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rava or Abaye? So the Rosh says, of course, we paskin like Rava. We always know we paskin like Rava every place except for Yal Kagam. And what does Lamed in Yal Kagam mean? Says Rashi, Lechi Homid Me'elav. But Rabbeinu Tam says no. Rabbeinu Tam says, what's the Lamed in Yal Kagam? Leida Bezov. Ah! So according to Rabbeinu Tam, we're going to paskin like Abaye, in which case you can't double down. So therefore, according to Rabbeinu Tam, what would be, is you need to do like this. You need to count your 14 days, or 7 days for a boy, 14 for a girl, go to the mikvah, then have another Sheva Nikiyim, and go to the mikvah again, and then you could be motaris to your husband. That's what Rabbeinu Tam would say. Do we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam? So now all the Rishonim reject Rabbeinu Tam, basically. They bring rise against Rabbeinu Tam, we reject Rabbeinu Tam. Great, that should be the end of our discussion. Says the Darkei Moshe over here, except, you know, I have an Einfalt. Maybe the pshat in this chumrah is that they're choshish Rabbeinu Tam. After all, Rabbeinu Tam said it. How could you go against Rabbeinu Tam? That's what the smag says. Now the problem is, would this be a key, right? Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, if you didn't go to mikvah a second time, would you be muteres during the 80 days after the birth of a girl? No, you'd be asura. So the problem is, but according to Rabbeinu Tam, you need a second tefillah. Do we require a second tefillah? No, nobody ever said you need to do a second tefillah. Ah! We accept Rabbeinu Tam for the first 40 days for a boy, or the first 80 days for a girl. And then, punkt, we stop being choshish Rabbeinu Tam all of a sudden. Are we really choshish Rabbeinu Tam? No. Are we partially choshish Rabbeinu Tam in a way that's totally illogical? Yes. That's the way the Ramah explains this minhag. Which is very, very, very strange. I guess this is, you know, the Marik said, if you could come up with any cockamamie explanation, this is really cockamamie. But that's what the Ramah says, I think, if I understood correctly. The next explanation, the fifth explanation for the minhag is in the Levush. It says that since it's so close to Leida Damim Mitzuyim Bahem, right, we know that's true in Mitzias, Choshesh and Shema Yuru Velo Yargishu. So, nobody understands this either. Because, okay, so they'll see Dam and they won't notice. Great, but it's Dam that's Mutter. Okay? No. Levush said, but we're Machmir during the 40 and 80 days for Dam to treat it, even not to be Mekel for Dam Tohar. And therefore, since there's so much Dam, maybe it came and she didn't notice. And since we're Machmir to treat that Dam as Dam Nida, not Dam Tohar, then you have to be Machmir. Okay, very far-fetched chash as well. The Bach says, the Pshat is, we're choshish like the Bahag, that day 41 and day 81 are a Veses. So then you should have choshish also day 41 and day 81. So the Bach said, yeah, nachanami. So basically we have a lot of different explanations for the Minhag, and none of them make too much sense, other than the Rambam Shita, that it's apikorsos. But on the other hand, you see from the poskim, the Kayach of Minhag, that despite the difficulty of explaining the Minhag, they felt that you have to observe the Minhag, since it could be explained in some way. So how does the Ramah paskin? The Ramah says, Ein lahatir b'makom shenagu lahachmir, avamakom shein minhag, ein lahachmir klal. If you live in a place that they're mekel, you're allowed to be mekel. If you live in a place that they're machmir, you have to be machmir. There's a discussion over here in the Taz. The Ber Heitev is Medayik in the Taz that we don't say about this minhag paritz geder. In other words, even if you live in a place where they're machmir. Sorry, the opposite. If you live in a place where the minhag is to be machmir according to the Taz, you are begeder paritz geder. And the Pischei Tshuva disagrees, and there's a note of Yehud about this. Now, we don't have to get into all these details because we don't live in such places. Every place that I know of in the world nowadays does not have this minhag. But it's just a methodological point. You see a whole discussion in the Poskim, in the note of Yehud, in the Pischei Tshuva, in the Berhetev, in the Taz. Whether we say about this minhag paritz gader, meaning say a lot of times you see a minhag and you see the poskim say about paritz gader yishchenu nachash, and you say, okay, that's nice, right? So apparently not. Apparently, but some minhagim the poskim say paritz gader yishchenu nachash, which is an indication that you have to be much more zahir in such a minhag. And then the question is, if this is a minhag, is this a minhag about we say a paritz gader or not? It's an interesting discussion that comes up over here. Anyway, fine. All that sif aleph. Sif base. So the halacha is that if a woman miscarries, so if it's within 40 days of conception, so then it's kemaya ba'alma, you have to be choshesh mishum nida, but you don't have to be choshesh that it's a vlad, which means that you go to the mikveh right away after shivanakiyam. However, afterwards, then we are concerned, and this is a very practical question, a woman miscarries, and a lot of times early miscarriages aren't so different than menstruation or heavy menstruation. If a woman miscarries, and it's been more than 40 days, so generally speaking, we're concerned maybe this is a fetus. And if it's a nekeva, so then you'd have to wait 14 days, which means, practically speaking, she's not allowed to go to the mikvah until 14 days. Now, this doesn't change too much. You know, usually, if you're Ashkenazi, you're not going to be able to go to the mikvah anyway for 12 days, right? 5 plus 7. And usually, if you have miscarriages, you're not going to get a hafsek tara anyway in 5 days. So most of the time, this isn't relevant. But sometimes it could be relevant. And therefore, this is a very important halacha that one must know. Now, it's only if it's roi lebrias neshama. Beis Yosef, for example, quotes a machlokas rishonim, if it's a trefa, do we say that's nechshav brias neshama because it could live for less than 12 months or no? The rishonim are mairich, and there's dinim. You'll see the Beis Yosef, and even the Shulchan Aruch is very, very lengthy. But most of this is not very practical. And the reason is because we Paskin like the Ravid that we're not Bekiyan Betzura Savlad, and therefore any time it's after 40 days, we're Machmir. We don't start looking at the miscarried fetus and judging, does this have human characteristics, or does it look like a buffalo, or does it look like a fish, or this or that. Lamaisa, we're Machmir any time it's after 14 days. Now if you could tell the gender, and it's male, you could theoretically go to the mikvah as soon as, you know, whatever it normally takes, but if it's unsure what it is, and typically in a miscarriage you're not going to know the gender, so then you'd have to be machmir for 14 days.
Well, then you have to wait for Tumas Leda.
Maybe it's in the Keva, yeah, Tumas Leda.
For Zachar.
If it's Zachar, you only have to wait 7 days.
For the Minog to wait for the
forget Minog.
80 days.
Bah, we don't hold that Minog. I told you, there's no one in the world that has that, no place in the world that has that Minog anymore. If you find such a place, you'd have to be machmir.
You'd have to be machmir.
Ken Zayin. Could be the minhag was only said by live children, whatever. But anyway, it's totally irrelevant. There's no such place in the whole world, as far as I know, that has that minhag anymore. But you do have to wait 14 days. Now, the very important question is, the key question, is 14 days from what? Right? This is a very, very big question. 14 from what? So Rashi writes, 40 days from what? Right? In other words, 40 days from what? From conception. Good. So Rashi writes, 40 days mitzvilasa. And that's the way the Avodas HaGershuni paskins. So if a woman miscarries, and it's less than 40 days from her going to the mikvah, then the regular halachos apply. Right? She sits shiva nikiyam and she goes to the mikvah. If it's been more than 40 days, she miscarries 45 days after going to the mikvah, then she would have to wait 14 days. That's the opinion of Rashi. This is the way the Avodah Zarah Rishuni paskins. The Pesachei Tshuva writes, that's only if it's tevila from a re'iyah gemura. In other words, it's normal menstruation. If she had a kasem, she went to the mikvah, then you'd have to be machmir. Why? Because maybe she was pregnant, right? Maybe she's been pregnant for 2 months. And sometimes, as we've discussed before, you have ksamim while you're pregnant. So then she thinks, and then she goes to the mikvah, she goes to the mikvah for kasem, and 35 days later she miscarries. So in that case, we're concerned that maybe this vlad is 75 days old, right? And the kasem, you know, she went to the mikvah while she was pregnant, in which case she may not go to the mikvah until 14 days. That's the opinion of Rashi. The Rambam is very unclear. The Rambam writes, "V'amapelas besoch arba'im yom she'ena tamei aleda afil biyom arba'im hipila biyom arba'im ve'achad me'achar hatashmish harezu safik yoledes v'teshel zachon nekelonida." What is Lashon again? Biyom arba'im ve'achad me'achar hatashmish. Hatashmish. Vus meint hatashmish. So the Avodah Zarah Rishuni means hatashmish, meaning the tashmish lachar tefila, meaning it's basically Rashi's opinion, right? Assuming she had tashmish the night she came back from the mikvah, so it's the same thing as Rashi, right? That's the Avodah Zarah Rishuni reads it. The Gilyon Marsha over here says not so fast. Hatashmish means the tashmish from which she became pregnant. Well, when was that? Can you assume that when she menstruated, she wasn't pregnant? Maybe not. Maybe not. It's possible. So nowadays we know that menstruation stops. But in Mechazal, it's not true. Right? We know, we saw from Simon Tzadi Tess, that women continue to menstruate for the first 3 months, after they became pregnant. And moreover, even nowadays, sometimes women become anita while they're pregnant. It could be a hematoma, it could be implantational bleeding, who knows what. So therefore, you have to be machmir until you're 100% sure that she wasn't pregnant. So the Chavos Das also has an Avodah Zarah Rishuni from Simen Kuf Pei Tes. Interesting, Shaila, let's say you fail the pregnancy test. According to Ramosha, we know before that he holds a pregnancy test, at least for positive. What about negative? Unclear. Chachmas Adam, though, is Mekel. Chachmas Adam is Mekel. Most poskim, I think, are Machmir. Most poskim write that unless you're certain, like you haven't had Tashmish for 3 months except for this one time 35 days ago, you have to be Machmir. Or she just got married, then you could be Mekel, whatever it is. But under normal circumstances, you have to be Mekel. Well, Yoshev says maybe you could rely on a pregnancy test, Kodim Tefila, a failed pregnancy test. now, it's a Chumrah, because L'maisa nowadays, let's say she menstruated normally. We know no women menstruate during pregnancy tests, while they're pregnant. So that should be a very good reason to be Mekel. On the other hand, Rabbi Willig says that you really have to be Machmir here. And the reason is, he's not mamish, but he's no telachmir, because we're dealing with a mamish in Isser Kares, right? Let's remember, we rarely have Isser Kares, right? In other words, normally, really, push comes to shove. If she goes to the mikvah 7 days after, she has one good bedikah, and she goes to the mikvah, she's muteres, right? Everything else is a chumra al gabe chumra midirabanan. But here, if taka, it was an eifel, and it was a nekeva, so then she's an Isser Kares if she goes to the mikvah before 14 days. So even though it's very unlikely that she was pregnant when she went to the mikvah, but it's a far-fetched possibility, and therefore you should be machmir. I think that's the consensus of poskim. Others are mekel, especially because even if it is more than 40 days, it might still not be sufficiently developed. We said we're not experts, but still, you know. Okay, Sif Gimel. First of all, if you do, I will leave out all that stuff. We don't have time. We'll just conclude with one last point, which is a tevila, a bracha on a tevila that's machma safek, or minhag. So first of all, let's say a woman has a safek. Let's say she didn't do chafifa. She goes to the mikvah and she has to go to the mikvah again. So would she have to make a bracha? So here, of course, you would, because the Gemara says also la tefila. But let's say it was a safek. She sees a kesem and the posek isn't sure. Is it brown? Is it red? Tells her to go to the mikvah. And so should she make a bracha? So the pashto says, I would say, safek brachos lahakel. And she should go to the mikvah, but she should make a bracha. Some poskim will not tell a woman not to make, will not tell a woman not to make a bracha. And the reason is because when people do mitzvos without a bracha, they don't take it so seriously. Now, that doesn't make any sense. Like some people, once they stop making a bracha on Sfira, so they stop like counting. Right? That doesn't make any sense. First of all, it's a mitzvah, and the Rav Rishonim don't hold like the Mahagan and the like. Someone learns a sugya would understand that, of course, you should keep on counting even if you don't make a bracha on Sfira. Right? But we all know in the world that sometimes when people don't make a bracha, they don't think it's very important to do in the first place. So if you told her, you have to go to the mikvah, you have to be at your yushi, but, you know, you have to sit shivanakim and v'chule, but don't make a bracha when you go to the mikvah. That's like saying, you don't have to take this so seriously and that. So the poskim, when they tell her she's a surah, they won't, even though they know, this is actually a safek, I have to be machmir because I don't know, but, you know, she sees a bedika and it might be red and it might be brown, I'm not sure, I can't be mekel, you have to be machmir, but so they're not going to tell her, it would, I mean, if it's a steer shiv nekim anyway, she'll have to make a bracha, but let's say it was on a vases, right? So then, they won't tell her not to make a bracha, because they're afraid that if they tell her not to make a bracha, now you could say, what gives you that right? You're going to make her make a bracha v'atala? So this is a different poskim of different mahalchim in this. What about our shaila, though? She's going to the mikvah in the middle of her dam tohar. Right? This would be more shaykh for a girl. For a boy, there's not enough time. But let's say she gives birth to a girl. 6 weeks later, she goes to the mikvah. Most women don't start menstruating again for a while, especially if they're nursing, but it could happen. Before day 80, she's going to the mikvah again. Good. Day 76, she's about to go to the mikvah. Now, migar adin, does she have to go to the mikvah? No, it's dam tohar. So why do we tell her to go to the mikvah? According to the Rambam, a minug, right? The Rambam says it's a minug. So you make a brach on a minug. So the Noda Behuda discusses this. It's quoted by the Pisrei Tshuva as well. And he says, in the Dagom Irvava, at least he concludes, in the Noda Behuda, he's misoping, Dagom Irvava, he shouldn't make a bracha. And he could have said, 1 second, Tismamish and Yanadiyoma, right? Who here made a bracha on Hallel this morning? Okay, so the rest of you, I assume, are briskers. But for those of you who made a bracha on Hallel this morning, right, so you made a bracha on a minug, right? So here too, we should make a bracha on a minug. Maybe the pshat is no. There's no minug to do tevila. The minug is shelo livol. Memela, you have to go to the mikvah, but you can't say asher kachanu mitzvah sevetzivanu. I'm not sure. The Chassam Sofer says, no, you can make the bracha. Why? So he gets into the whole clara about making a bracha on a minug. And he writes that since we Ashkenazim do make a bracha on Halal and Rosh Chodesh, so we could also make a bracha on tevila for Dam Tohar. And then he says something which is very questionable, that maybe even according to those who don't make a bracha on a minug, on Halal, this would be different. Take a look, there's a whole arichos over there. But he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, that some of his writings are very strange. He writes, Gam kenot tefilas dam Torah, so Rabbeinu Yonah writes that even if she's not a Nida, the problem is it was legislated from Zera. Anyway, that's what the Chassam Sofer says, that she should make a bracha. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, Baruch Shesiyamnu, Be'ezros Hashem, for the next 2 days we will have shiur on Hilchos Piri V'Rivia, and specifically we're going to focus on the questions of birth control. on birth control before you have children, after you have some children, after your Mekayim period of Arivia and the like. In terms of Mar Makomos, I could send them to you, but basically you want to, in terms of Shulchan Aruch, it's going to be the beginning of Evan Hazer. Okay? So that'll be, those are some of the most common questions Rabbanim get. That'll be the next 2 days, and then I'll give you the Bechina, Bezras Hashem. Okay.
Can we discuss practically with
I will tell you that I'm a Talmud of Rabbi Willig, so I think that under normal circumstances, it's I'm gonna, you know, steal my own thunder, but it's gonna be Aser.
To bring that up.
Of course. They're going to ask anyway. And many people, not B'nai Torah, think that's Pashat, that it's Mutter. If you have someone that thinks it's Pashat, it's Mutter, Ad Kedei Kach, they don't even ask. And you know if you tell them, they're not going to listen. So obviously, Kishen Shemitzvah Lomar Dar Shein Nishmas, Kach Mitzvah Shelo Lomar Dar Shein Nishmas. But if they ask you, you have to tell them the truth. And it's one of the hardest shmuzin to give, because it mamish goes against what they're expecting. And there's all sorts of expectations out there around now. So it's a very hard thing to do. You sometimes have to, how to put it, I leave to your chachman. I'm not going to tell you how to do that.
Okay.
But I think one of the main things is to play a period of Arivia, how it's the greatest mitzvah there is, and that's why we're here for, and to stress, I know that when Rabbi Sobolovsky tells this to people, he stresses that, which is a really horrible thing, people mamish think they have bilus over this. Mamish, they think they think, okay, it'll happen whenever I want, and who says? And, imagine, how common it is that people, say they'll wait till they're ready, and then when the time they're ready, it doesn't happen. They mamish are so devastated. They've lost years. Fertility gets worse as you get older. But it's not just the technical point. It's telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this isn't so important to me. Other things are more important to me now. I'd rather work on my graduate school or this or that. And I think that's the biggest problem. It reflects a very unhealthy or non-Toradic attitude towards children. I'm in control of my body, and I'll do this on my own terms and whenever I want. There's a lot to say. But how you say it, I think you have to use your own chachma and think about what people are willing to be makabel.
What is your response to the counter response, which I think is common enough? We just want to make sure that we're a well-oiled machine before we bring a kid into this world. Meaning, we want to be...
If you're not ready to have a kid, don't get married.
We've never lived together before because we're from. We want to make sure that we're a healthy couple, that we're doing well, 2-3 months, and then we're ready to...
Right, Willem does not think that's a good reason. Listen, when you have shasat chaks, it's a different story. I make a one couples. When they're couples, I'm not sure they should get married. Mm-hmm. So I encourage them to start on birth control, because mm-hmm. who knows how long it's going to last.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a couple that seems healthy, and that seems... and that's part of your job, is being their posek, to know that they're healthy and know their situation, know what they're going through and the like. But they seem, and again, sometimes there are other issues. There's mental health issues, there's anxiety and the like. You could be makel on all those shilas. But if they seem healthy and they are healthy and they're a strong couple and the like, so then if they're mature enough to get married, they should be mature enough to have children. That's not my psak. I don't know what I would say, but that's the psak of my rebbeim. So what we'll see in the next couple of days is why they say that psak. But, you know, it is scary. We live in a time where quickie divorces are all too common. And obviously it's much more complex than there's a child.
Why is that a hunter? This is a little question. Why is that a hunter? The fear of a divorce. After
it's not, I mean, the answer, well, you have to, when we learn the sugya, we'll see.
Okay.
No problem.